The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or ill or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Listen, most of the time, when you hear the Gospels read, you envision in your mind something that happened long, long ago. Maybe you even imagine yourself as a character in the story. Do you know St. Augustine recommended that we do that? He said it was a great way to pray. He said, imagine that you are a character in the story when you hear the Gospels read. Maybe you do that already. But did you know that there is one Gospel and one Gospel only in which you don't have to imagine anything because you are already a character in the story? Or at least you will be. It's the Gospel that we just heard. You're in this. One day, all of us are going to see this happen. At the end of all things, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. That's the last judgment, of course. Lots of mysteries about the last judgment, but I can tell you one thing for absolute certain about the last judgment. On that day, there will be justice. If you've ever been saddened at the lack of justice in the world, if it ever upsets you and disturbs you, to discover that malice is profitable, that fraud and deceit are rewarded, these people get promoted, to discover that no good deed goes unpunished. If that's ever bothered you, don't you worry. You're going to see a balancing of the books. One day you're going to see it, and you are not going to be disappointed. Jesus once said, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be satisfied, and you're going to see it." This is the Feast of Christ the King. Now, this feast came to us in 1925. The Pope at the time was Pius XI, and what Pius XI noticed, he looked around the world, he recognized in the aftermath of World War I, that all these politicians and policymakers scrambling in their committees and their policies and their laws, scrambling to make peace out of a broken world. Pope wanted to send a message to the world. He wanted to say, it is not enough. So he created this feast day, Feast of Christ the King. Listen to what he said. I love this. He said, manifold evils in this world are due to this fact that the majority of men have thrust Jesus Christ out of their lives. As long as individuals and states refuse to submit to the rule of Christ, there's no hope for a lasting peace. Now, it was Paul VI who put this feast at the end of the year to try to show us, to try to remind us of the Last Judgment. So this evening, let's think about the Last Judgment for just a second, shall we? Let's think about the Last Judgment. Did you know that it's a teaching of our faith that there are two Last Judgments? If you don't believe me, look it up. All I'm doing is quoting the Catechism. It's a teaching of our faith that there's two Last Judgments. The first one comes at the hour of your death. The moment that you die, every last one of us is going to stand and be judged immediately by God. And this is just, you know, to dispel any of these ideas. I hope none of you have them. You know, like that there's reincarnation and that we just go round and round again. Not true. We go through this place only once. And personally, I say, thanks be to God for that. One trip through this place is enough, okay? But what's that last judgment going to be like? Would it surprise you to learn that it's infinitely simple? There's no arguing, there's no explaining your side, there's no defense attorney showing your point of view. It's infinitely simple. At that moment, you simply see yourself as God sees you. It's like looking in a mirror. And you will rush at that moment to the place where you belong. St. Catherine of Siena said that. She said, at the hour of your judgment, you will rush to the place where you belong. Some into the everlasting bliss of heaven. Some people immediately. Others after a little bit of a purification. I don't know. I tend to think most of us need a little bit of purification before we go immediately into the bliss of heaven. But you know, either immediately or after purification. Others, I'm sorry to say, will go to the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You will, every last one of you here, hear Jesus say to you one of these two things. Either he will say, come, all you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or he will say, depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's an even more chilling way that this has been put. I love the way Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said this. He said that at the moment of your death, every last one of us is going to look, is going to gaze either into the loving eyes of Jesus Christ or into the terrifying eyes of Satan. And here is spoken to us at that moment just one word. Mine. Mine. Jesus doesn't say this to scare us. He says this to shake us out of complacency. Because in addition to that, there's a second judgment. It's what they sometimes call the general judgment. It's what you've just heard. What's the point of a general judgment? What's the point of a second judgment if there's already been one? You know what the point is? To reveal everything that's happened. There's no secrets. There's no secrets. Everything we've ever done, Jesus says, what you've done in the shadows is going to be proclaimed from the housetops. But you want to know what's interesting about the general judgment? Everybody's surprised. And that's what's fascinating about this gospel. Both the saved and the damned, they're both surprised. Why are they surprised? What's the surprise? The surprise is the full ramifications of everything we've done, for the good or for the bad, they're all going to be made known. Now, just as an aside, You hear this gospel story read, story of the Last Judgment. Just as an aside, it's important to understand what the Last Judgment is not. It is not a test of your intellectual convictions. Notice Jesus does not say, "Come, all you who accepted me as your personal Lord and Savior." Doesn't say that. Jesus does not say, "Come, all of you who were Orthodox and who knew the Catechism and who believed in papal infallibility, because you were right and all those other guys were wrong." He doesn't say that. You know what else he doesn't say? He doesn't judge us on all the bad stuff we've done. What does he judge us on? It's hard to argue with this. It's in black and white. It's right here in the gospel. Every time we say Mass, we begin by saying these words, "Lord, forgive me for what I've done and for what I've failed to do." The wrong that you've done, we call those sins of commission. The good that we haven't done, we call those sins of omission. What are we going to be judged on? We're going to be judged on the good that we've done or on the good that we failed to do. I like the way St. John of the Cross said it. The twilight of your life, you're going to be judged by your love. And the amazing thing about that is that everybody's surprised, because when you see the ramifications of what that meant, it's going to leave you absolutely spellbound. The good are going to be surprised. They're going to say, "Lord, I didn't know it was you." Everyone that you've been kind to, everyone you've forgiven, every time you've withheld an unkind word, come to somebody's defense, anytime you've lent a helping hand, you're going to see what it means. Once you realize at that moment, you're going to see what it means that you didn't just do that in general. You did that to Christ himself. And you're going to see all the ripple effects all down through the ages of the good that you did. And I'm sorry to say, it's going to be a surprise for the damned as well. They're going to say, "Lord, I didn't know it was you." Because at that moment, they're going to see what it means that everyone they cheated, everyone they defrauded, everyone they abused, everyone they lied to, everyone they took advantage of for their own personal profit and pleasure, they're going to begin to see at that moment what it meant that they did that to Christ himself, with all the ripple effects down through the ages. That's the surprise. You know, there is an American poet, E.E. Cummings. Maybe you've heard of him. In almost a prophetic utterance, I love this line in one of his poems. He says, "At the last bell, the sound of the last bell at the very end of human history, will come the prattling of a human voice that says, 'Oh God, how true. Oh God, how true.'" No arguing at that point. But you want to know what? He tells us how we can be ready. He tells us how we can be ready, because both the good and the damned are both told the same thing. "What you did to the least of my brethren, that's what you did to me." So this is very important. Who's the least of my brethren? What's that mean? Does that mean we have to fly off to Africa? Does that mean we have to go, I don't know, find a homeless shelter somewhere? Is that what it means? Let me tell you what it means by telling you a little story, okay? Here's a true story. A priest I know, he took a retreat. He took a 30-day long retreat. Maybe some of you, I'm just curious now, how many of you ever heard of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius? Let's see a show of hands. Okay, so a few people know. It's a 30-day long retreat. Now, it's really hard to take because you have to be gone for an entire month. Priest took the spiritual exercises, 30-day retreat, okay? And he's several days into the retreat, he's having all kinds of great prayer, he's having all kinds of great, you know, ideas and things like that. And suddenly, by his own admission, he says he had kind of like a mystical experience. And suddenly he had almost like a vision of the one man in his life that was his worst enemy, the guy he got along with the worst. And from the depths of his soul, he heard a voice. He swore it was the voice of Christ. And the voice said, "If at the end of these 30 days you have more love for this, your enemy, then this retreat will have been a success. But if you don't, then no matter how lofty your prayer, no matter how great your insights, this retreat was a waste of your time." Who's the least of your brethren? You know him. There's one person in your life right now you have the hardest time getting along with. What you do to him, what you do to her, that's what you do to Christ. Anybody can be good to their friends, right? Jesus said this on the Sermon on the Mount. If you're good to those who are good to you, if you're good to your friends, what profit can you possibly claim? Anybody can do that. But be good to your enemies. Love those who hate you. Now you're a child of your Heavenly Father. You know, our own patroness, St. Therese, she had an experience like this. There was one sister in her convent she absolutely couldn't stand. And at this moment, she had like this revelation, and she said, "This is the one I'm supposed to love most. This is the one I'm supposed to love most. Remember this. This is the least of your brethren. And if you're good to them, or at least if you try, you can have nothing to fear at the hour of death." Because Jesus came into this world once before, didn't he? Came as a cute little baby born in Bethlehem. He already came. He tells us he's coming again. And when he comes again, he's not going to come as a cute little baby, is he? He's going to come as the executor of divine justice. But in the meantime, he comes in a distressing disguise. He comes in the disguise of those we love the least. He comes in the disguise of the least of our brethren. And it's okay if you don't recognize them. It's okay if you don't feel anything. It's okay if it's hard. If you recognize Christ at that moment, that's not the point. The point is, at the hour of your judgment, he will recognize you. You know, they say that you can't make any sense out of life until you first made sense out of death. Jesus has already made sense out of death for us. He's told us that we're going to be judged based on our love. When you understand that, you know how to live. Know that we will be judged based on our love for the least of our brethren. And there's no better place in all the world to begin to do that than right here. And there's no better time than right now.